following paid program is furnished by Service Matters. It is for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. And Navigant Credit Union presents Service Matters with your hosts, Dave Clifton and Ramona Mann. Join them this hour to talk about Navigant Credit Union presents Service Matters with your hosts, Dave Clifton and Ramona Mann. Join them this hour to talk about local, regional, and global service and the great work performed by service organizations throughout Southern New England. They'll feature guests from scouts to lions to church groups to veterans and more. If you're interested in giving back, paying it forward, or meeting folks who do, you've come to the right place. Service Matters, brought to you by Navigant Credit Union. Celebrating a century, looking forward to the next 100. Now, here's your hosts, Rotarians Dave Clifton and Rona Mann.
Good afternoon and welcome once again to another edition of Service Matters. Yes, we're live here on AM 790 WPRV. I'm Dave Clifton.
I'm Rona Mann, and we are in the presence of men that we are honored to be in their presence.
We'll be here from 3 to 4 p.m. on this interesting day here in March. A little bit of snow. We thought we might have the end of it, but some more came back.
That's why they call it New England.
That's right, and we're living right here in the heart of New England, here in the Rhode Island, Massachusetts area. It's about 32 degrees outside of our studios here, a little bit of snow on the ground. We have a terrific show ahead, a chance to salute the red, white, and blue, the American flag, and a chance for us to salute a couple of World War II veterans. They both served in the U.S. Army Corps. One happens to be 94 years of age, and the other gentleman is 93. And they look more like in their 60s here as they sit in the studio. And bringing them with us today is George Farrell, former fire chief here in the town of Providence, Rhode Island. He was active with the Providence Fire Department, and he has some great stories to tell us. He's the chair of the Rhode Island Fire Chiefs Honor Flight Hub, and we certainly welcome you, George, very much, joining us here on AM 790 WPRV.
Welcome, George.
Thank you very much, Dave. Thank you, Dave, and thanks, Rona, for having us, and more importantly, having our World War II veterans with us today. It's always a pleasure to be able to talk about Honor Flight. It's even greater, more of a pleasure when I have the veterans come with me, which we like to do. So I appreciate the invitation to be
as
here.
As wonderful as it is, I think an awful lot of people still do not know what it is. So why don't you tell our audience?
Well, thank you. That's true. We sometimes wonder. We've the Rhode Island Fire Chiefs Honor Flight Hub has now been in existence since September of 2012. We've run 14 honor flights in that time period, usually a couple in the spring and one or two in the fall. And we've had the opportunity to take now probably close to 400 veterans, the majority of those World War II veterans.
Terrific.
And so we've taken them, and generally our flights, they're one day. We fly out early in the morning and we come home late at night. For our veterans, there is no charge. All of the expenses are covered by donations and to the Honor Flight Hub.
Tell everyone where you take them, actually.
We take them. We fly from TF Green Airport. We meet outside the airport at a meeting location, and we go in together, thanks to numerous organizations that help, World Fire Department and Rhode Island Public Transit, who provides us some buses to get in. We'll get into the airport about 5:15 a.m. in the morning. We'll fly from Providence to Baltimore. We'll charter buses. We hire National Park Service police officers to escort us from Baltimore throughout the entire day.
First class, right?
First class. And,
these
gentlemen will tell you what an experience it is to have the police officers escorting us. You know, you're driving through, they're moving traffic off of the highways, and you're driving through Washington, D.C. nonstop. They'll pull stop the traffic.
I can't imagine driving through Washington, D.C. and no traffic.
Well, there's traffic. They just move them out of the way and they stop them, and
great.
We go through the red lights to get to where we need to go.
I think the escort is very important, no doubt about it.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. So we'll, generally our first stop is the World War II Memorial, and we'll be there for about an hour and a half or so.
That's their monument.
Their monument, which is, the reason that we're doing this is the you know, give them, our veterans, the opportunity to see those beautiful memorials built to honor their service and sacrifice, which many of them, because they were in their 70s when, in 2005 when that memorial was opened, didn't have the ability to make this kind of trip on their own, whether it was financially, medically. So this opportunity that we have to give back to them and take them is something that we cherish, and it's an awful lot of fun, a lot of work, and a lot of responsibility.
Well, Judge, we certainly thank you for your dedicated service to make this happen. Let's talk to the two gentlemen who have joined us. You know, they're in their 90s, and I said to them off the air that when I was a kid growing up, Rona, a senior adult was someone age 60. They were the people that the communities took on the bus to go food shopping. And now it's changed.
It's changed
now,
a lot.
Now a senior is considered someone in the 80 category, and someone who's 75 is playing softball on the field. So times have changed.
Or running the Boston Marathon, Johnny Kelly. Remember how many of those he ran?
Terrific. But it's so nice to have both of you join us, and Rona and I certainly want to express our appreciation to both of you for what you have done to serve our country. And tell us, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask Ben if you would go first. Ben Carbone, he's a World War II veteran with the U.S. Army Corps.
Air Corps.
Air Corps. And he certainly has been involved on the honor flight. And we're going to ask Ben, thank you for joining us here on the air.
We got to get the microphone over to him. You got to pull it over to him. Okay, yeah, it'll just pull like that. While we're getting the microphone over, oh, you're Ben. Okay.
Okay.
All right. While we're getting you set up, just tell us, where in Rhode Island do you live?
I live in Providence.
You live in Providence?
Yes, I was born in Providence, and I spent my whole life in Providence.
How did you hear about the honor flight? Did someone come to you?
Well, through the news media and so forth, I heard about it, but that I wasn't up to going at the time. I says, no, I don't want to go, because at that time there, my wife wasn't feeling too good, and I was under the impression that it was going to be like a weekend trip.
Not but a one day.
But I found out that, but after my wife passed away, my son says, Dad, why don't you go to Warsaw? I said, that's a good idea. And he said he would be my guardian. So.
And that means that he went with you on the flight?
That is correct.
Did you get a chance to meet some friends while you were on that trip?
To be honest with you, not in the service.
I'm certain that they were all your friends, but acquaintances.
When you came home, they were friends.
That we were, we didn't know each other, let me put it that way. We just knew that we were World War II veterans, and that was
that's enough.
The gist of it.
Yes, you saved the world.
Okay.
Also, joining us here today is Dominic Giarrusso. He also is a World War II veteran, served in the U.S. Army Air Corps, and we're going to let you use this microphone here. Tell us about the experience that you had, and certainly you're very grateful to George for his help and support.
My experience being in the Army Air Corps was one of the best things that could have happened at the time.
Were you drafted?
No, I enlisted at 17. I had to get permission from my father.
Permission from your parents, right.
Friends of mine went down to inquire what was required to enlist. I was not able to go with them. When we decided to go down and enlist, I went down, and it was a one-day deal. You enlisted, and you were sent to Fort Devens right away.
Right away?
So
no chance to go home or do anything, right to Devens.
Well, I don't know what they did. I don't know actually what transpired at the original meeting. Usually they give you some time off after you go down and sign up.
So how did you hear about the honor flight?
The honor flight was, again, brought to my attention by a neighbor. My wife had just passed away, and down in the dumps and grieving and so on, and someone said, why don't you go on the honor flight? It might help you.
We understand you were stationed in Africa as well as Italy.
Yes, that's where I started, down in Africa, Tunis. at the Alawena Air Base, which was equivalent to our Randolph Field here in the States. It was a training base for the French. And
did you learn to speak French when you were there?
No, I could speak Italian.
I see.
And there were many Italian-speaking people.
Oh, there were?
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
All right, so tell us, I want to know your impression of the honor flight. What did you think? This one day, I know they knock you out and make you exhausted, and you have a great time.
The honor flight was another great happening, and it came at a time which was very significant. June 6th, D-Day, was when we went down there. There were international as well as national people at the monument. The guards down there had shoehorns trying to fit all the people in the area. And I heard some monsieur. So I turned around, I got smacked on the lips by some French girl, which I never got to know. But being it was a day, we had a special program. It was a special program being sponsored, and with many dignitaries there. In fact, one of my impressions and lasting thing was Elliot Roosevelt's granddaughter was there as a speaker.
Oh, and impressive.
And what happened, why it impressed me was her grandfather was a squadron commander for a photo recon outfit, and one of his airplanes was going to be shot down by the Germans, and the pilot put it in overdrive with supercharger, and he warped his engines, and when he landed at our field, I was assigned the job to change those engines on that aircraft.
Wow. We'd also like to congratulate Ben Carbone. I know, Ben, you received the Air Medal with three oak leaves. Tell us about that.
Well, I didn't really expect to get the medals at the time, but there was Colonel Manzo was the one that awarded the Air Medal. He pinned it on me, and after that there I was awarded the oak leaves for each medal. They gave me an oak leaf cluster.
And you have three.
So I had three oak leaves plus the Air Medals, which actually meant I was awarded four Air Medals.
Now, I asked you this when we were off the air, but I said, don't give me the answer now. Tell me on the air. You flew 50 combat missions in the European theater as a ball turret gunner. I've only heard of a tail gunner. Please tell us what a ball turret gunner is.
Well, the ball turret, the ball ton actually is the shape of a ball, a round ball, and that hangs at the bottom of the plane, which the bomber. I was flying in a B-24 Liberator bomber. And my job was I had two machine guns, and I hung outside the plane. That ball is like on an elevator.
You physically hung outside the plane?
Physically out. The turret is actually outside the plane.
Wow.
And the plane cannot land as long as it's down outside the plane.
No wonder you have beautiful gray hair. You've been flying outside the plane.
I was going to say, that's why he's so short. He might have gotten cut
off. Well,
that
was one of the reasons I wound up being a ball turret gunner, being a very small person at that time. I was able to get in. Right now, I don't think I could even get in part of the turret.
Wow.
And Dominic, you were actually responsible for all major repairs on the aircraft when there was damage on bombing missions?
Yes, the type of outfit that I was in was we did all heavy maintenance on the airplanes. And we did all repair work for all the we serviced all the bomb groups in the 15th Air Force. That was our primary job, to keep those airplanes in the air, as many as we could.
That's amazing. We're going to have to take a break shortly, but we always like to give our guests a little parting gift, as you said, a little parting gift, although you're not leaving yet. Thanks to the generosity of the Payden Company and Len Sormonti, We have Service Matters pens that we will give to you three gentlemen.
Thank you.
And
thank
when
you.
We come back, I would like to talk with George Farrell because he told me a very interesting story off the air about how this all got started here. This was a man that had not really heard of this before, saw something in the Baltimore airport, or I think it was Baltimore, and within 5 weeks, Rhode Island got its first honor flight. So that's
it's time for Dunkin' Donuts
story.
Regional traffic.
We'll be back
to you
shortly.
You're listening to AM 790. We're on Service Matters. Hurry back.
Now back to Service Matters with Dave Clifton and Rona Mann. Call them now at 401-437-5000 or 888-345-0790 on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Welcome back to Service Matters, and thank you, Nick Koster, our producer. Today we're talking with two World War II veterans. They served in the U.S. Army Air Corps. They are both senior adults. When they were in their prime, it was Roosevelt that was the president, followed by Truman. I'm Dave Clifton, here along with Rona Mann, and this is an exciting show when we hear what's going on from these two gentlemen who really look like they're in the 70s. And right now, Rona, we want to go back to George Farrell.
George Farrell, who is a retired Rhode Island fire chief from Providence. He's the guy that got behind this program, the Honor Flight program. And please, George, tell our audience the story that you told me before, because it's excellent.
I didn't know anything about Honor Flight until I was coming home from a family vacation. It was actually the summer of 2010 and came into the airport in Baltimore, and there was a lot of people lined up. These gentlemen have seen the greeting that the veterans receive. And someone I asked, and they said, well, we're just going to welcome our veterans. We're welcoming some veterans in through the airport that are going to Washington, D.C. The time frame, my mind went right to Afghanistan, Iraq veterans who were coming home. Little while went by, and then everybody starts to cheer. I turn around. We're just across getting ready to board the plane, and off the plane are coming World War II veterans, what I learned to be World War II veterans, because I walked back across, started to shake hands, and thought about what that experience was like. My dad was a Purple Heart Bronze Star veteran of World War II. He had passed. But I went home and kept thinking about that experience and saying my dad would have loved that because he would go to his ship reunions. So I went to the fire chiefs. I was president or on the board of the fire chiefs at the time, went to them, told them about what I saw, and said, if no one's doing this in Rhode Island, someone should. And they said, well, let's go figure this out. I went to work figuring it out. Took us a little bit of time to get approved for it. You have to be affiliated with a 501c3. There's a lot of requirements to be affiliated with the Honor Flight Network and start your own hub.
But you did it in 5 weeks.
Well, that part took a while. They said we could be an Honor Flight hub on the last week of August 2012, and by November we were out the door with a flight. So because of the organizational experience of the fire chiefs and fire chiefs themselves, our ability to move people who are old, this is the job and career that we've had, is to take care of people who are old, difficult walking, medical issues. So taking veterans who at that point were at their youngest was possibly 85 years old.
What goes into, I was going to say, all that planning? What are the things you have to, you know, all the ducks you have to get in a row?
Well, you know, the first thing is we have to raise the resources and the money.
Sure.
To do that. Once we were able to raise the money, generally it's 6 months before a flight goes out. We'll book the airfare for the number of people that are going to go. Every veteran has a guardian, so there's a one-on-one relationship. We take a medical team. We take a medical team with us and a photographer. And we'll fly out in that day. We start preparing, booking Arlington National Cemetery. There are 140 excuse me, hubs in the national network in 44 states. So you have to file paperwork and make sure that you're doing all of the things you need to do when you get there just prior to with all of those other hubs that are going to go.
So I'm assuming, Judge, that the fundraising efforts were a lot easier than most fundraising responsibilities because of the cause.
It has been. We've done enough to make sure that we keep the flights going, but
if someone
it's
is
sometimes
listening.
Difficult because my passion is not necessarily everybody else's passion, and although there is a lot of passion for what we do, and they know that everything that we work for is to take these veterans out and make sure we give them the opportunity to see the memorials built to honor their service and sacrifice, it still is an expensive proposition to take.
Somebody is listening right now and, well, it's a two-part question. A, they would like to contribute, or B, they are or know someone who would like to go on one of these flights. What do you do?
Well, if you have someone that wants to go on the flights, that's our primary purpose. We'll figure a way to get it done. So if you have a World War II veteran who wants to go on this flight, they can call me. My cell phone number is 401-741-7999.
And why don't you repeat that again, George?
And again, it's George Farrell, and it's 401-741-7999. They can log into the Fire Chief's website, www.rifirechiefs.com, and get information there. And if, like I said, if you're a World War II veteran, the flight, we're taking a flight April 1st, that flight is full. But we're also going to take another flight in June, on June 3rd. And we're still looking for World War II veterans for that flight.
How many do you take typically?
Well, it depends. The first flight that we did that we organized in five weeks, we took 10 veterans, 10 guardians, and a medical team. And then we did another flight about 4 months later. We took 43 veterans, 43 guardians, and medical teams. We had just over 100 people on that flight.
Now, April 1st, you said you're full. How
full.
Many are you taking?
24 veterans, 23 are World War II, and one Korean War veteran on that flight. In June, we're going to start working on taking Korean War veterans as well. So we have a long list of Korean War veterans, so we take veterans first come, first serve, based on when we receive your application.
George, we're going to ask you to make sure you let Roner and I know about this when it happens in June.
Okay.
We certainly would like to do some coverage of that.
Yeah, we encourage people to get involved. We know that there are World War II veterans out there that we haven't taken, and it's our mission to make sure that we do that. And as I said, we're transitioning into Korean War veterans, but we have a long list of Korean War veterans. They still put your application in. We'll put it on our file, and as we get to those flights to start to take those veterans, we'll transition over into Korean War veterans as quickly as we can. Let's face it. A lot of the veterans who are Korean War veterans are in their mid-80s now. Some of our World War II veterans have served in Korea as well as World War II. We had some veterans that served in all three, World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. So,
who's the oldest one you took on the trip?
We took a gentleman from Warwick. He was 103 years old. He just passed about 2 months ago. He was 106. We went back to his house. Some of the fire chiefs from Warwick and some of the honor flight went down and had his, took him for his, gave him a cake. We had a veteran who was 100.
God bless him.
He's still with us, Mr. Grimshaw. He turned 103. We took him to City Hall. He had worked for the City of Providence as a radio operator for fire alarm. We took him to City Hall, and the Mayor Alorza had a cake for him. He had worked in the laborers union. They came over, gave him a cake and gifts, and it's just wonderful. And as you can see,
you're really forming relationships. It's not just a one-day trip.
It goes beyond. I mean, I don't know how many times I've been with these two gentlemen, and I think we would be together more if I could get more time. I thoroughly enjoy. You've seen. I can tell you their story, like it's, you know, like they're one of my family, and that happens a lot with that relationship, especially that one-on-one with the veterans. And,
so Dominic Giarrusso and Benjamin Carbone, the day of your flights, and I know you went on different flights, but the day you went on your honor flight, what was it like? What was it like when you saw your monument built to your service?
I could truthfully say right off the bat that if it wasn't for the George's honor flight, I don't believe I would have ever seen that World War II memorial. It's beautiful.
Did you go right to the Rhode Island part? Because I know each state has...
Right. Have you been there?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know how beautiful it is.
It is
magnificent. I understand that the World War II monument was designed by a professor from Rhode Island.
Yes.
A school of design.
Friedrich St. Florian, am I correct?
And,
yes.
And I understand that most of that marble that was there was comes from Westerly.
That's right.
So, Ben, your rank was staff sergeant.
That is correct.
You were assigned to the 15th Air Force 98th Bomb Group.
Right.
And how about you, Dominic?
I was a sergeant because I was a little bad boy once in a while, and I'd lose my rank, and I had to work my way up again. So I ended up as a sergeant. getting back to the on a flight.
Yeah, I want to. I mean, when you first see that, you get off the bus, you walk, and you see that.
The on a flight
like?
Is something you'll always remember because, like, it's, we're going to a World War II memorial, and behind the thought is, like George says, putting it together was a lot of work. And the day that I was there, being that it was June 6th, there were so many people wall to wall. We started to run late, and we didn't know whether we'd be able to get our airplane. George, being the guy that he is, made arrangements. And I asked an individual that works in Washington, how did George do it? He said, there's only two people that got that type of escort on a beltway out of Washington to BWI. It's George and the president.
Mm-hmm.
So,
very well said. Folks, we're going to ask you to give us a call here at 437-5000. Or if you're calling outside of the Ocean State, call us at 1-888-345-0790. Or you can call us at 401-437-5000. We have a caller on the line right now, Tim Draper.
Tim, he's the guy that pays the bills from Navigant Credit Union. Welcome, Tim.
Special guy.
Hi, everybody.
How are you doing, Tim?
How are we doing this afternoon, on this snowy afternoon?
Yeah, we've got some real special guests in studio. I guess you've been listening.
I know I have. It's great. And I have to tell you that that the Honor Flight program is quite amazing. I have a very good friend of mine who has done several Honor Flights, Chief Tim Walsh out of the Lincoln Fire District and formerly of Woonsocket.
George is nodding. He knows
him. Chief Judge knows
him. And Brian Jack Voney, another good friend of mine from who used to be in Cumberland, but now he's off at the Cape as a fire chief. So those guys do some great work, and I know they rave about the feelings that they have when they come back from these honor flights, how humbled they are at the experience, and you know it just sounds like an amazing thing to do, and I'm just proud of those guys, and I'm proud of the Honor Flight folks.
Well, Tim, I'll tell you. You just named two of the two of the best people involved with our Honor Flight. Brian Jack Voney, actually, Chief Jack Voney, actually goes back to Providence.
Yeah.
He and I worked together in Messer Street, and he left Providence, became the chief of Valley Falls, and he's moved on to the Marion Fire Department out in the Cape. And Tim
went to the country club, is what he did.
Both of those individuals. Yeah. Tim Walsh is our medic.
Yeah.
Tim's,
yeah.
I always give him a hard time that he's overqualified to be a chief because not only is he a fire chief, he's a nurse practitioner.
Yep.
So
he's
our medic. He's assigned to take care of all of our veterans throughout the day. And when you're talking about taking veterans who range in age now from World War II from 89, 90, all the way up into their late, 89 to all the way up into the mid to late 90s, having a medic like Tim, Joe Glued, who's out of the Warwick Fire Department, and all of the people. You know, I appreciate that.
You need people can do CPR, right, that know how to use an AED.
Everything. And I appreciate that people use my name, but I'll tell you, no one could make this happen alone. And
so
when you're running it and you have fire chiefs and firefighters involved, you know you have people that have experience dealing with people in difficult times. And it really gives you a lot of comfort when you're running these things and putting it together to know that you have a team that includes, people like Chief Jack Voney and Chief Walsh.
So,
well,
Tim,
in order for us
to stay on the air, tell us, what's new at Navigant?
Well, I'll be really quick. You know, it's tax season. We're starting to get into that time where everybody's worried about filing their taxes and stuff. Wanted to remind everybody that it's a good time for you to sit down with your financial planner, whoever you have. And if you don't have one, come to Navigant. We have a whole team of them. Sit down, discuss where you're at, what's good for you from a tax perspective, from a financial perspective, and a retirement perspective, if that's where you are in life. There's still some opportunities to take advantage of some tax relief here at the end of the year with some IRA contributions and things, and you really should talk about all those opportunities with your advisors. And you know what, if you come to Navigant Credit Union, we have a great selection of IRAs and Roth IRAs that you can certainly use here at the credit.
Tim, are these complimentary services to people?
Yeah, our investment company, our wealth management company, NCU Financial, which is a great organization, great group of guys and gals that will help you. If you're a member, it is a complimentary service, absolutely.
That's what makes Navigant Credit Union so special.
Right. Well, you know, we try real hard to participate and make sure everybody has a real smooth financial journey, as we say.
And, Tim, you live up to your motto, people helping people.
People helping people, exactly. That's what those guys are doing on Honor Flight, people helping people.
Well, I got these two gentlemen here that have some experience from World War II. They say they're 94 and 93, but they look like they're in their 70s.
Yeah, they got plenty of energy. I don't know if you heard when one of them used to hang out of an airplane.
Oh, nice. But,
oh, yeah.
I don't. Would rather not to hang out. I'd rather fly it.
I thought they called them wings, but we've actually had folks who served our country by doing that. Tim, we want to thank you so much for calling in once again, giving us an update on what's happening at Navigant, and we look forward to chatting with you again.
Hey, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, you guys, for everything you do. God bless.
Okay, take care, Tim Draper.
And he's the VP of Marketing at Navigant Credit Union. And, of course, today we have the opportunity to salute two World War II veterans.
I've got a question for George Farrell. I know they go to the World War II Monument or World War II Memorial, but I know you take them to others. Where else do you go?
We start out at the World War II Memorial. We go to Korea, the Korea Memorial, Vietnam Memorial, and
the
Lincoln
Wall.
Memorial. It's in that area. Yep, we go to the Wall. We also will go to Iwo Jima, particularly if we have Marines on that, to go to the Marine Memorial. If we have time, we'll get to the Air Force Memorial, but we have always gone to Arlington National Cemetery, as I said earlier.
Wonderful.
The day we buy the tickets is the day I make the appointment for Arlington National Cemetery, and we get, these gentlemen will tell you, priority seating for our Honor Flight veterans, and so they'll be able to view the inspection as well as the changing of the guard. And,
you drag them around pretty good. Did they feed you at least?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we have snacks all day long.
Did you go to McDonald's? Or?
Oh no.
Not really.
There's no McDonald's for our veterans. We have snacks all day long, and then box lunches are delivered, and then dinner at a hotel. We go back to Baltimore and dinner. Dietary issues are taken care of. Everything. So. We take them to every place, and if we're fortunate enough, we've done three times. We've actually laid a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. But
how special that is.
If I can quickly, because I just want to mention, we have a board of directors that runs this and keeps it going. And in addition to myself, there's Wayne Moore, who's a professional engineer. Chief Rick Susi, he's a retired fire chief. Chief Dave Sales from Westerly Fire, he's retired. Chief Giannini was the assistant chief in Providence. He's retired. He does it. He's on the board. Chief Giacovone and Walsh, who we just discussed. Steve Hay, who's a retired deputy chief from Warwick. Ken Finlay, who's now the chief in Cumberland, formerly Woonsocket. Jim O'Loughlin, who's the chief in Warwick Fire Department. And then also Julie Latessa. We have Julie's on our board, and Julie is the life. She breathes life into everything that we do. She's a wonderful
Ben
woman.
Ben is nodding.
Not only does she do the flight and have great relationships, she runs cookouts in the summertime for the veterans that she's taken. She's been on 13 out of the 14 flights. She has them at home. She invites all the veterans over. As a Christmas party every year that she invites, 20 or 30 people. She may be small in stature, but she's got the biggest heart of anybody I know.
It's so important to thank people for the good things that they do. And certainly honoring our World War II veterans is on the top of lots of people's list.
And I was just looking on the Honor Flight website, not the Rhode Island one, but the national one. This program's in 42 states now. It should be in every one of them. Yeah. What a terrific thing you have done here.
Well, there's a lot of great hubs. There's 140 in 42 states. I will tell you, the team that we have, we were recently recognized at the Honor Flight Summit 2 weeks ago in Washington, D.C., as the hub that's leading by example for the nation, Rhode Island Fire Chiefs Honor Flight Hub.
We
2 weeks ago, we got the award through all of the hubs. They voted us to get that award.
That's because you gave them filet mignon, right?
Well, we would like it. It's close.
A little scotch on board, right?
It's close.
Hey, folks, we got to take a break, or Nick Costa won't be our producer anymore. But stay with us and talk to the best people in America, the greatest generation.
World War II vets. Hurry back, folks.
Now back to Service Matters with Dave Clifton and Rona Mann. Call them now at 412. 1-437-5000 or 888-345-0790 on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And welcome back to the final segment of Service Matters. I'm Dave Clifton.
I'm Rona Mann.
And we're going to be with you. We're talking with retired fire chief George S. Farrell from Providence and two World War II veterans. And we were just talking off the air about traveling when they go on this venture. And I know that they're on a plane on the way to Washington, and I was going to ask Ben a question. Ben, if the seats are all filled on the plane, do they ask you to ride outside?
I don't think so, to be honest with you. But it's pretty comfortable sitting in that seat compared to sitting in a ball tower.
I'm sure, and we thank you both for the service that you have provided.
You know, you both made comments while we were off the air, and I really think you should tell our audience and anyone who's listening who's thinking of calling George and saying, yes, I'd like to go, tell us what you said about your experience and about what you think World War II vets should do.
Well, I was really impressed the morning that we left. When we got to the Sutherland Airport in Warwick there, I was surprised. There was approximately, I'm guessing, about 500 people there. There was all kinds of servicemen there. They had formed an arch where they wheeled us through in wheelchairs. They were hauling flags. And and we had the band, the Bagpipers.
Oh, yeah.
They were playing there and and the day that we were leaving, that weekend, the Blue Angels were in town, so they all were at the airport there, and we interviewed with them, and also we took photos with them, and it was very impressive. Then, when we got on a plane, we're taking off, and the pilot said that we're going to be almost like flush. They had a fire truck on both sides of the pumps, and as we went down the runway, they opened up the hoses.
They gave us a fireman salute.
Oh, that's a fireman, like a 21-gun salute, but with hoses.
It's a good luck omen, I believe.
Yeah, they call it a water cannon salute. Right. What the veterans don't know, we're really just checking for leaks.
I told them to stay away from the fuel tanks. Yeah, we don't want no water in our fuel.
No, you don't. That's right, because you guys know what it means.
When we got to Baltimore, I was impressed. We're waiting in line to go to the bus, and all these people that came up to us and thanked us, every one of us, they were just travelers in Baltimore.
Right.
And it was a wonderful feeling to have these people come up to us and
But you know what? They should, because if they think about it and they know a little bit about history, you saved the world for them.
Well, that's...
Think about it.
And but we never thought of it that way.
Dominic, how about your impression?
My impression, my sister keeps telling, when are you going to shut up? You know, that's all I hear is, on a flight. And that's how I met Ben. Through my sister, because I was talking on a flight so much. She's a friend of Ben's. We went on different flights. She said, you two guys must get together. We did. We talked on a flight quite throughout the night. And then where did you serve? Where did I serve? And we found out we both served in the same Air Force.
Both you guys, and you didn't know each other back then.
We didn't know each other
before that. So the on a flight has a lot of side good effects. And one other good effect that I got out of it, my family say to me, your step is a lot springier since you come back from the honor flight.
That's great. Yeah. Now, do you have reunions from your honor flight?
Occasionally.
You get together with some of the guys, for coffee or something?
Yes. At Christmas time, especially at Judy's house.
Yes.
She invites us over for the Christmas time. And some of the honor flights from different flights are invited there.
Yes.
And we renew our acquaintances and experiences from the honor flight.
Again, George Farrell, tell the people out there, how can they get involved? And for those who may not have a World War II veteran in the family but want to do something, how can they give you some money to perpetuate this?
Well, you know, that's the key to being able to continue to do this is to have the resources available to you. And there have been numerous people who have been extremely generous. You know, Ocean State Job Lot has sponsored flights. Wayne Moore, who I mentioned on our board, sponsored two flights paid for the veterans to go. And the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, 42 out of Connecticut and 104 out of Massachusetts, have really come along. What people may not realize is to make this happen, you have to be able to purchase. The Guardians pay their own way. I mean, so you listen to the names of the people who are on our board of directors. With the exception of one or two people, everybody pays. So they've gone on 15 flights and paid their own way to have the opportunity to spend a day with these veterans. We pay for the Guardians. There's no expense. There's really nothing that they could want through the entire day. That's our goal, is to make sure that, I often say that if they come home and tell us this was the best day of their life or the second best day after their family, then we've accomplished the mission that we set up.
And I'm not surprised, George, that you stepped up to the plate to do this. You're part of a firefighters' brotherhood.
Yeah.
They do things in a teamwork way.
Yeah.
They're in the helping people business as well.
Yeah.
And today, Ronald, we got a chance to talk about another service, and that is military service.
Right.
And a chance to thank people. And we played a special song today, the Grand Old Flag, to open up our show. That was a tribute to you two gentlemen for the good work you have done serving our country.
Thank you.
Any final comments you'd like to make? George, how about you?
I'm going to defer to my friends here.
Ben, you want to...
It was very nice sitting here and talking to you people. And you do it well and you do it easily. I really enjoyed being here, and I want to thank you for interviewing me.
Our pleasure.
And George.
And thank you very much. And how about you, Dominic?
I want to thank George and the Honor Flight and the Chiefs Association for sponsoring it. And any veteran, I believe, should take the opportunity to go on the Honor Flight. And I'm sure if there's a veteran for medical reasons of any era that would like to go to Washington, George will find a way to accommodate him.
Well, apparently he does. He can stop traffic in Washington, D.C. He'll find a way to accommodate people.
He and his president are the only two that got the escort that we did.
Dave, tell me, what's coming up next week on Service
Matters?
Next week
we're going to talk to a bunch of folks who are involved with the Toastmasters Club. And folks, if you're interested in public speaking, please join us next week. We're going to have the Providence Club. We're going to have the East Providence Club. And we're going to have folks from District 31 who will join us. And that's where I started out myself, getting close to a microphone and being comfortable when I was a youngster.
So I have them to blame for this, right?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Give them a call. Here's the telephone. No, I'm only kidding. Right now they're playing our favorite song, What a Wonderful World. And folks, what a wonderful world it is. Louis Armstrong done it in a very intelligent way. He did it by singing a song. And what a wonderful world it is because of veterans who have served our country.
And those who appreciate it, like George Farrell.
That's right. And today we have two from World War II here in the Providence area. I'm Dave Clifton. That's going to wrap it up for today's show.
I'm Rona Mann, and hopefully we will see you next week at 7:90 a.m.
We bid you farewell from our studios here in East Providence. We say to each and every one of you listening, go forth to serve. Do it with a smile on your face. And if you're going to do something to help others out, especially those folks who have served our country, do it with the dignity that it deserves.
Thank you, gentlemen, for your service, and thanks to everyone else.